Okay, the subject that we're going to talk about is going to be right and wrong thinking. And what I'd like you to do is get your Bible out and follow along with me. So this is not church, this is Bible school. And in church, often, pastors will give a great, wonderful message. Maybe you turn to one scripture, you know, their main text when they start. And then you just kind of sit back and relax the rest of the time. Well, I want you to be relaxed. However, I also want you turning to these different scriptures, especially tonight, because there's a lot of them that I want you to see in your Bible for yourself. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Romans 12:2. And while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you some of the main points we're going to look at tonight. Number one, take thoughts captive. And point two, think on God's Word. Those are two areas that we're going to cover. Take thoughts captive and think on God's Word. Romans 12:2. Go ahead and say glory when you get there. Okay, so we've got most of you on your way. They're on your way. Okay, so the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Now, here's something that I'm also going to say. If you haven't been in the Word of God that much yourself, and you're not sure where some of these books are, that's okay. Just turn to the front of the book. Get the table of contents, find the page, and then turn to that page. And then you'll be able to stay up with us and keep up with the pace, okay? All right, so that'll help you out. All right, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are born again. We are children of God. We're in the family of God. And we live in this world, but we are not to be conformed to this world. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we got born again, the Spirit of God came to recreate our heart, our spirit, and we became a new creation. Not just change, but just brand new creation, brand new spirit. But did you notice that your body stayed the same, and your mind stayed the same, and your emotions stayed the same, because those parts of you didn't change? Your spirit changed, but the rest of you remained the same. So then what we need to do is go ahead and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the way that we do that is by feeding on the Word of God. Okay? So if somebody gets born again, but then they don't do anything with their salvation, they remain a very immature Christian. But we don't want to do that. To be pleasing to God, we want to be growing. It would be very sad to see a 15-year-old in diapers, wouldn't it? Okay, so if the same goes for natural growth, we have an expectation that by 15 they're out of diapers, and hopefully a lot sooner, right?
Then the same goes for spirit beings and that spiritual growth. By 15, God wants us out of diapers. He wants us functioning at a higher level, a plateau, in spiritual things, and in maturity, and in growth, and in faith, and in love, and in the fruits of the Spirit. So we want to be growing, and the main way that we grow is by feeding on the Word of God. And that's what you all have made a decision to do by being here tonight. And by making a commitment for the Bible school, you've decided, it's time, I want to do it, I want to get serious, and I want to grow. And so that's fabulous, and that's what's going to happen, and I'm excited about it. But it's not something that's automatic. Have you ever known somebody that's been saved a long time? Maybe they don't even attend church. They're Christian. But they're not going to church. They're not reading the Bible. They don't really grow. God loves them. They'll go to heaven. But they're not partaking of the benefits and the blessings that they could be. And they're not being the blessing that they could be. But God wants us to be blessed and to be a blessing. And He wants that spiritual growth for us, and that growth in our thinking, in the whole area. God cares about spirit, soul, and body, the whole part, the whole being that God cares about. Okay, so go ahead and turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10:5, and we're going to look at what we're to be doing with our thought life. This is very good. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you this. If you will do this, you will not sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations, reasoning, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it's implied here that this is something that we are to do. God doesn't do this for us. But we are being encouraged here to cast down those things which are against the knowledge of God, or against the Word of God. So in other words, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, you don't want to be thinking it. And then we're to be bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are we to be bringing into captivity some thoughts? It says every thought. Now think about that for a while. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And right there is the fork in the road for people's spiritual life. Because if you will grab things when they come to you in the form of a thought and deal with it appropriately, you'll stay on the right path. And it'll keep you out of sin. Why? Because things start in the thought life. You've got to think about it usually before you do it. If you're going to be a blessing to somebody, you usually think about it, and then you bless them. And if there's sin, you think about it, usually before you do it. So there's a lot that goes on in the thought life. So a lot of times people are trying to deal with issues when they're much further down the road into the issue, when it gets much more complex. Whereas if they would take those thoughts captive from the very beginning, and line them up with the Word of God, take authority over those thoughts, be very specific about what they're going to choose to think on, then they'll never get down the road to sin. Okay? So this is the key right here. This is the key to your spiritual walk. This is the key to keeping you walking right with God. This is the key to keeping you out of sin. What you think on, and taking every thought captive. Now, God is just and God is fair, and He would not tell us to do something unless we were able to do it. Which means, even though it may seem kind of grand to take every thought captive, it means we're actually able to do that. We can take every thought captive. So what we want to do is then begin to be very aware of what we're thinking of and how we think. And then even self-evaluate and say, should I be thinking on what I'm thinking of? And that's what it means to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Look at your thoughts and weigh your thoughts. Is this something I should be thinking on right now? What is it producing in me? Is it producing peace or is it producing anxiety? What am I thinking on? Is it producing life? Does it line up with the Scripture? Or is it in opposition to the Word of God? If it's in opposition to the Word of God, it opposes the Word of God, then we want to cast it down. We go straight to thought life. The thought life is where sin begins and where sin is kept out. You can keep it out by what you determine to think on. So we don't want to wait till we're way down the road in the middle of something. We want to stop it before it starts, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, this was written to born-again believers. It was written to the church. And we're told how to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, by taking these thoughts captive and by lining them up with the Word of God. I'm going to give you an illustration. In Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, it talks about adultery. And Jesus says that if a man even looks on a woman to lust for her, he has already committed adultery in his heart. Now that's important because it tells us something about how God judges things. And it tells us that He's not judging just by the action of things, but He's judging by the intentions of the heart. Before any act ever occurs. So if He's judging by the actions, by the intent of the heart, or if He's judging by the thought life, and He's saying it's as though they've already sinned, even though they didn't act on it, I don't know about you, but it makes me want to clean up my thought life. Because I want to be pure before God. I want to have a heart that's got right motives. And I want to have right thinking. So that fellowship fellowship with the Holy Spirit can just flow, and I'm pleasing to Him, and I'm thinking on things that are godly. But do you notice that? See, a lot of times people think, well, I didn't do anything. Well, shucks, I didn't act on it. But see, God's saying it's already considered sin. So that means we need to go back and slow down at even looking at sin. It's not necessarily just the act. He's saying it's heart attitude. And if it's heart attitude, I believe there's also thoughts in God's head. Now, that doesn't mean that negative thoughts never come. Okay, even the devil can throw out some negative thoughts, right? Sometimes they're our own. Sometimes the devil can throw things out. But that's why it's so important to pay attention to what you're thinking on and kind of go, wait a second, where'd that come from? I wasn't even thinking about that. But now I am. And it's like, okay, am I going to go further down the road with that thought? Am I going to entertain that thought? Or am I going to go, whoa, no. We're not going that way. No. Oh, it's you to think of. And then you can plead the blood of Jesus and just resist it. I will not think on that in the name of Jesus Christ. I will do what the Word of God says. And then the Word of God tells us what to do. And so point number two tonight is think on God's Word. And you can turn to Joshua 1:8. And I want you to get into this verse also. So I'll wait for you to get into it. Joshua 1:8. So we've got taking thoughts captive and thinking on God's word. Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate, think, on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, again, here we see something. The book of the law should not depart from your mouth. Well, what does that mean? It means we should be speaking the word of God. We should be confessing the word of God. The words that are coming out of our mouth should be lining up with Scripture. But not just what we're saying, also what we're thinking of. Again, we see kind of a grand statement here that we should be meditating on the word of God day and night. And so that doesn't mean secular radio stations where there's sometimes nasty words and you start feeding that into your spirit. And you know what? Have you ever gotten into like a retail store and they had music playing and you heard a song and then you left the store? Sometime later that day you found yourself singing that song, words that you didn't necessarily even want to be singing, but here it comes. And then you kind of realize, where'd that come from? Can you realize where that came from? Okay, so do you see how affected we are by what we hear and how effective music is? So really, we want to make some really changes in our music if we're listening to things that are not godly. Because they can feed your spirit in ungodly things. And you don't want to do that. So Christian music is really best. And not even just Christian music, but Christian music that has edifying words. And not all Christian music does. I mean, it may be a Christian person that's singing, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have a revelation and an understanding of the power of the words that they speak or sing for that matter. So again, we want to go back to even the music that they're singing, you know, whether we're listening to it or kids are listening to it. And I'm not, you know, it can have a heavy beat. Maybe it's got something like that. I have no idea. You know, that's right, where he got that from. Heavy beat. But the words are okay. So it's not so much the beat, it's what are the words? What are the words? Why? Because the words affect us. They affect what we're thinking of. Because we start thinking on them. Almost subconsciously, without even realizing it, we start thinking on them. So if you work in a workplace that has music going on, you want to be careful about what type of music. So now we're to be thinking on the word and meditating on the word day and night. Day and night. Have you ever watched TV right before you went to bed? And even if you were watching a decent or an okay show, some horror commercial flashes on. Or some other show that you have no intention of ever watching. And you feel a little slime. You know what I mean by slime? Like, oh, I could have done without that. And nowadays, they flash them so fast, I don't think you really even have time to hit that point. You know, you hit that point, but then it takes a long time before it responds, I think, to get to clear some of these nasty commercials. So what are you doing? So then you go to sleep and have a bad dream and wonder where it came from. What was the source of that? Well, what were you feeding on before you went to bed? So one good thing to do is when you wake up in the morning, you feed on your way to bed. Before you go to bed at night, even if you are going to watch some TV, you turn it back to the Bible and you read some scripture before you go to sleep. And you'll be amazed at what great dreams you have. Or just nothing in perfect peace. But that is so much better than watching some of the it that's on TV and getting slimed by it. Again, we're talking about taking thoughts captive, what we think on, and thinking on the Word of God. And we can do it. And He's encouraging us through the scripture to think on the Word day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. So a lot of times what I'll do when I'm driving in the car, I'm praying, and if I'm not praying, then I'm listening to Christian music so that I've got good words going, worshiping God. So what am I doing? Focus on the Word, putting myself back to the Word, even when I'm doing little routines like this. When I go to clean my house, when I do the dishes, trying to get that Christian music on. And then if not that, sometimes when I'm driving, then I start quoting to myself whatever scriptures I can think of. So I memorize them to get them in me. So that once they're in you, you can draw them back out when you need them. If you don't memorize them, you can't draw them back out when you need them. So what you want to do is memorize the Word of God so that you can be a walking Bible. So that if you're at work doing your job, but you just need a little encouragement from God, a little pickup or whatever, you can sit there and say, praise the Lord. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I have faith, and He's already given it to me. I've got a measure of faith. He gave me a measure, and I'm growing the measure. Praise God. I can do the job I've been called to do. It may be new to me, but I can do it because He's given me the mind of Christ. I've got the advocate, the go-between, the helper, the comforter on the inside, and He's my teacher. And as I'm studying this new material, I can learn this new material. Praise the Lord. I can do it. I can learn it. I can do these things. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So if you don't put it in, you can't draw it out. So that's why, one of the reasons why I gave you that list of scriptures to start memorizing. There, a lot of them are on faith and on what you're thinking on, and it'll be a blessing to you and it'll help you because you can draw on those and pull those out later. You don't have to turn there, but Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So we are to keep thinking on godly things. We're to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We're to meditate in the Word. Think on the Word. And sometimes people think that's ridiculous. You've got to be kidding. I do so much work. I'm so busy. How am I going to ever take time to stop and to do that? You know what? You're a spirit being. And you can be functioning and doing work and praying in the Holy Spirit at the same time. It is possible. It is possible. You can do it. You can be doing your job. Now, not every job, and sometimes there are times where you're really focusing on the job that you're doing. But there are a lot of times where there are parts in your day where you have more freedom and free time than you actually think, where you can be meditating on Scripture. I remember I had a friend, and Brad and I were driving on the freeway, this was many years ago, and she loved to memorize Scripture. And I remember we passed her on 101 one time. Newer car, saw her, and it was fun because as we passed her, I could see her holding the steering wheel and holding index cards at the same time and talking. And I knew what she was doing. She was memorizing scriptures as she was driving and then speaking them out loud and speaking them over herself. And she was using her drive time to be productive, memorizing scriptures. I mean, we need to be safe drivers. But there are ways and times that you can fit these things in, or you can find time to fit the Word of God in, so that you can be meditating on it day and night. It's not impossible. See, God never gives us anything that's impossible, because He'd be unfair. He doesn't. If He says to meditate on the Word day and night, that's what He wants us meditating on. And I can guarantee you this, if you are meditating on the Word, you will not get depressed. If you're meditating on the Word, you will stay in a place of fullness of If you are meditating on the word of how can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it according to thy word, then you know, as you're thinking on that, you're focusing on the Lord, you know that you're going to be obedient. Because you're going to put him first and his word first, and you're going to cling to that in the name of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Focus on the word. What does the word say? What does the word say? Taking every thought captive. So I'm not going to just go drifting off and check out land. You ever gone to check out land? Check out land. La la land. Okay? Where you just go check out. No, he wants us to be careful with what we're thinking of. And active and proactive about what we're thinking of, not passive. Your mind is not a public park where anything, no matter what it is free to come and go and cruise through. Your mind is not a public park. You are the gatekeeper of your mind. No one will do it for you. No one can do it for you. You are the gatekeeper. You are the one that decides what you will let in there. Your mind is not a public park. Your mind should be more similar to fortified city, a fortified fortress. You know those old-fashioned castles they used to show? You know, old-fashioned times where they'd have the guys up on that walkabout around the huge stone wall and they'd have the moat, those big, and then the rest of the city would be safe on the inside. And they'd have guards patrolling up along that walking path, and then the bridge that came down over the moat would be pulled up. Why? They were protecting what was on the inside. It was guarded and protected. Your mind is the avenue to your body. Your mind is the avenue to your spirit. Your mind is the avenue to your soul. Your mind is the avenue to your purpose in life. Your mind is the avenue to the plan of God for your life. Your mind has a lot to do with determining what you're going to choose to do. So again, you are the gatekeeper. God does not guard your mind for you. He gave you a mind and he told you what to do. Take every thought captive. You are the gatekeeper. I want you to think of it like that. Next time thoughts start running wild or whatever, you think that I'm the gatekeeper. I'm not to be passive in this. See, and here's another thing. Some of us think, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows what I'm thinking on right now. I want a Big Mac from Jack in the Box. I'm hungry. I didn't really have time to stop for dinner. But you know what? God does know. God knows what you're thinking. I may not, but God does. God knows what you think about, and God knows the intentions of your heart. God knows. The scripture says that nothing is hidden, because it'll be revealed. That's interesting. Think about that for a while. Nothing is hidden. It'll be revealed. It'll be revealed. So I'd rather get it right now. Get everything cleaned up. So I want to talk. Nope. Nothing to go there. Nope. Nothing to go there. Nope. Don't think on that. Not going that direction. Because I'm the gatekeeper of my mind. God gave me this mind, and my spirit is in authority over my mind. My spirit is in authority over my body. My spirit decides what I'm going to think on. I'm not just letting my mind think on whatever, but my spirit man that's been born again, that is already lined up with the Word of God, is going to determine what I'm going to think on. Go ahead and turn to Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. And this is probably the last scripture I have you look at, even though I'll give you others. Philippians 4:8. Now, we're to think on God's word. And what else are we thinking? Philippians 4:8. Tell me when you're there. So we are to think on these things. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, any excellence, anything worthy of praise. Now, there's your check right there. And that's what I think about. Wait a second. Hold the horses. Where's that chain of thinking going? That line of thinking? Oh, I don't think so. I know Philippians 4:8, and that's not true, and it's not honorable, and it's not right, and it's not pure, it's not lovely. And it's certainly not worthy of praise, so I'm not going that direction. So I'm going to turn that around, and I'm going to start thinking on, well, what things are pure? What things are right? And so that's a very good check for you right there. Is it worthy of praise? Is it true? Is it honorable? Pure, right, lovely. And that's a good check for you as the gatekeeper of that fortress, that fabulous fortress, the mind that God gave you. For you to glorify Him. Have you ever seen a person with anxiety versus a person in peace. Somebody in anxiety, it can be taken back to their thought life. They're in anxiety, why? Oh no, I'm late. Oh no, I'm not going to make it. When you look at anxiety, anxiety is loaded with negative thoughts. I can't do it, it's not enough, I'm not good enough, it's not going to happen. Negative is anxiety. But a person in peace is thinking usually unlike things. Because the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And you're right in Philippians. That's not 8, that's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So that should be right where you are in your Bible. I'll read that again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So right there, we're told how to guard our heart and how to guard our mind, how to stay in peace. If something's bothering you, you pray about it, turn it over to the Lord, and you get rid of it so that you're not in anxiety. That'll be a guard, and it'll help you as a gatekeeper of your mind. What you think on affects you. Anxious thoughts lead to anxiety. Peaceful thoughts lead to peace. We're to cast all our care upon the Lord because He cares for us. Now, that doesn't mean that we deny problems, cast for trials. We're to pray about them, deal with them, take action, turn them over to God. Then rejoice and think on good things. So we are told what to do. It's not go into denial and forget it. We're told what to do. But then when we do that, we can then have perfect peace. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh within himself, so is he. Now, it's possible that some of you may have been thinking some bad thoughts about yourself. And that's one of the first things to break. See, if you think a negative thought about yourself, then you're not thinking in line with the Word of God. Because once you repent for something, then you're forgiven. And that means you're really righteous. When you repent and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you've repented. You've been washed clean. So that means the thoughts that you're having about yourself need to be righteous thoughts. I am pure. I am holy. I am righteous. Lining up with the Word of God. As we exercise this in how we think about ourselves, we will be a better blessing to the people around us. Because if we're hard on ourselves, we end up being hard on the people around us. But if we give ourselves grace and mercy and forgiveness, then we'll have that for those that are around us. If you haven't done it, it would be wise to make a little confession list over yourself. Any areas where you've thought negative about yourself, whatever it might be, figure out what you can say about yourself that's opposite of a negative. Give me a little project. Maybe a little personal confession. Not for anybody else, but just for yourself. And what are the things you want to be saying about yourself? See, a lot of times when somebody walks into sin, if somebody's just messed up, and they mess up more than one time, they mess up over and over, they start to feel really bad about that area, even if they've been forgiven. And so what happens is you've got to wash yourself clean from that. And the way you wash yourself clean from that, because if you've been in that for a while, you started to identify yourself. And even though God's forgiven you, and it's washed by the blood of Jesus, you've got to renew your mind. So what you need to do is kind of start saying, okay, well, what are some statements I can say about myself? So when my mind starts to feel bad about some of the things that I've done or I did, I can walk in what God has for me. See what I'm saying? See, you hurt somebody's feelings. Maybe you didn't mean to, and then every time you think about them, you think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't done that. And you start feeling like, oh, geez, maybe I'm not sensitive enough. Maybe I'm not nice enough. You see how these are negative things? They're not positive. And what they're doing is they start pushing you down and beating you down. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. What if I hadn't done that? You start feeling bad about yourself. I wish I was so much better than that. But what you're actually doing is kind of beating yourself up here. How does he want us to do that? What he wants us to do is you need to be your greatest contributor. You need to be your greatest contributor. You do. because you wake up and you go to sleep, and you are the one that's living with yourself more than anybody else. Even if you're married or you got a roommate, you spend more time with yourself than anybody else. So you need to be your greatest supporter. Now, this is not a prideful thing. I'm not talking about building pride, but having good self-esteem is very different from pride. I'm not talking about having pride, which means to think of yourself higher than you should. I'm not saying think of yourself higher than you should, but you should think of yourself the way that you are, and that is that God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says you have the mind of Christ. Have you ever done something? You should. But you start thinking on that too long, and you start feeling stupid. That's right. Identify what you did. Tell God you're sorry. That doesn't mean you're stupid. And so get away from those negative things. What are you going to do? I've got the mind of Christ. Thanks be to God. It brings me in remembrance of the things that I need to know. He's always leading me, always guiding me. If I need to pick that up from the store, or, you know, I went to the grocery store and I forgot that one item that my wife asked me to get, or my husband asked me to get, that one item. Went to the store, got all these things, and I forgot that one thing I was supposed to get. Well, forgive yourself. I've got the mind of Christ. Got the mind of Christ. Because if we start thinking on the negative, we lean that way. Think on the positive. So replace things. I don't know all your areas of areas that might be weak in you or where you've had negative thoughts towards yourself, but you know them. And so make a little list of areas so that you can read over and just build that up. Practice it on your drive home tonight, okay? Even if I'm not saying read in the dark in your car, okay? But as you write some things down, you make some little notes to yourself, go ahead and say them over and over tonight as you go home. Your car. I am this. I have that. I can do this. I can do it. I can overcome. I can overcome. I've made it this far. I can do it. I can. I'm not going by my past. I'm not looking at my past. You know, the Bible says to forget what lies behind and press on to the high call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm so glad it says that. You want to know why? Because it means we're not trapped, our past. It doesn't matter how many times you did something. It's not who you are now. It doesn't matter if you did it 3 minutes ago. It's not who you are now. It's in your past. You're to forget it. Press on to the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. You let go of those things. Let go of them. Don't. I refuse to think on those things. Why? Because they hold me back. So I won't think on those things. I choose to have the mind of Christ. I choose to press on and forget what lies behind. I am a new creation. The blood of Jesus has washed me clean. I'm different than I was 3 minutes ago. And then it keeps you positive. And it gives you hope. And it's encouraging. And you feel much better about yourself. Okay, so we're talking about taking God's captive, thinking on the Word of God. And this is talking about right and wrong thinking. Now, I know you got a lot of this in the book, but it's not enough to just read these things. Because we need to then put them into practice. So what I want you to do now is remind yourself that you are the guide. You are the gatekeeper of your mind. You are the one that is responsible for what you think now. And just be very proactive about it and taking every thought captive. And you can do it. Because if you couldn't, He would not have told you to. He's their God. Take every thought captive. Let me see. Is it true?